Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Mem Avraham Goldar, and today Maseches Ksubas Daf Samaches, the sixth parak, Metzias Isha. The Zichu Maseches Ksubas program has been generously sponsored as a schus for Hachazachas Torah. So the three daps we're going to focus on. Number one, beginning the bomb Daf Samach Zayin Amud Beis. The Gemara relates that Rabbi Chanina would send four zuz every Erev Shabbos to a certain ani. One time he sent the money with his wife, and when she returned, she told him that he doesn't need the money, for she heard him telling people he liked to eat on expensive tablecloths. Rabbi Chanina replied that if the ani is in fact wealthy, this is an example Rabbi Elazar said. Come on to show gratitude to the swindlers who pretend to be anim to collect stokah. For if not for them, we would be sinning daily. Rashi explains that we would be sinning for ignoring the needs of the poor. But now that there are swindlers, we have an excuse for distrusting them. For the pasuk states, and your eye will be evil against your needy brother and refuse to give to him. And he will cry against you to Hashem, and it will be a sin upon you. Point number two, the next Mishnah states, if an orphan was married off by her mother or her brother with her consent, and they wrote for her a small dowry of 100 or 50 zuz, when she gets older, she can exact from them the sum of money that is fit to be given to her. Rav Yehuda says, if the father married off the first daughter, a dowry should be given to the second daughter in the same manner he gave to the first daughter. But the Chachamim say, sometimes a person is poor and becomes rich, or is rich and becomes poor. Rather, we appraise the estate he left and give her the appropriate amount. The Gemara brings Shmuel who said, to determine how much she receives for her dowry from the estate, we evaluate the father. Rashi explains that we assess the character of the father in terms of generosity, whether he's a vatran or kamsan, a generous person or a miser. The Gemara attempts to challenge Shmuel's position, and we'll discuss how this ruling relates to those in the Mishnah. And point number three, Rav Huna said in the name of Rabbi Parnasa, Eina Katanai Ksuba, an orphan's right to a dowry is not the same as her right from the Tanai Ksuba, such as her right to sustenance. After the two explanations of Rebbe's statement are rejected, the Gemara says it is in line with what was taught in the Braisa. If one says, referring to a father at the time of his death, that his daughter should not be sustained by his estate, we do not listen to him. But if he says, his daughter should not be provided with a dowry from his estate, we listen to him because the right to a dowry is not the same as the right from the Tanai Ksuba. Rashi explains that whereas the chiyuv to provide sustenance is the father's, the chiyuv to provide the dowry for his orphan daughter is on the heirs, in a case when the father did not give instructions to not provide her with one. So once again, the 3 points are number one. Beginning at the bottom, Daf Samach Zayin Amud Beis, the Gemara relates that Rabbi Chanina would send four zuz every Erev Shabbos to a certain ani. One time he sent the money with his wife, and when she returned, she told him that he doesn't need the money, for she heard him telling people he liked to eat on expensive tablecloths. Rabbi Chanina replied that if the ani is in fact wealthy, this is an example Rabbi Elazar said. Come on to show gratitude to the swindlers who pretend to be anim to collect stokah. For if not for them, we would be sinning daily. Rashi explains that we would be sinning for ignoring the needs of the poor. But now that there are swindlers, we have an excuse for distrusting them. For the pasuk states, and your eye will be evil against your needy brother and refuse to give to him. And he will cry against you to Hashem, and it will be a sin upon you. Point number two, the next Mishnah states, if an orphan was married off by her mother or her brother with her consent, and they wrote for her a small dowry of 100 or 50 zuz, when she gets older, she can exact from them the sum of money that is fit to be given to her. Rav Yehuda says, if the father married off the first daughter, a dowry should be given to the second daughter in the same manner he gave to the first daughter. But the Chachamim say, sometimes a person is poor and becomes rich, or is rich and becomes poor. Rather, we appraise the estate he left and give her the appropriate amount. The Gemara brings Shmuel who said, to determine how much she receives for her dowry from the estate, we evaluate the father. Rashi explains that we assess the character of the father in terms of generosity, whether he's a vatran or kamsan, a generous person or a miser. The Gemara attempts to challenge Shmuel's position, and we'll discuss how this ruling relates to those in the Mishnah. And point number three, Rav Huna said in the name of Rabbi Parnasa, Eina Katanai Ksuba, an orphan's right to a dowry is not the same as her right from the Tanai Ksuba, such as her right to sustenance. After the two explanations of Rebbe's statement are rejected, the Gemara says it is in line with what was taught in the Braisa. Omra al yazonu benoisu benachosav ein shominu. If one says, referring to a father at the time of his death, that his daughter should not be sustained by his estate, we do not listen to him. But if he says, al yisparnasu benoisu benachosav, his daughter should not be provided with a dowry from his estate, shominu lo sheparnasa enekatanaik suba, we listen to him because the right to a dowry is not the same as the right from the Tanaik suba. Rashi explains that whereas the chiyuv to provide sustenance is the father's, the chiyuv to provide the dowry for his orphan daughter is on the heir's, in a case when the father did not give instructions to not provide her with one. All right, so now we go to our simur daf samaches, and this simur was suggested to us by Jeremy Shaiwitz from Woodmere, New York. He suggests that samaches is schach. Schach. So here goes. When the wealthy schach dealer, who would dress up as an ani to collect from the unsuspecting, died, his family debated what he would have wanted to give his daughter as a dowry. When all of a sudden some revealed that at the time of his death, he said that his daughter should not be provided a dowry from his estate. Once again, slow motion. When the wealthy schach dealer, schach, that must be one daf samaches. When the wealthy schach dealer who would dress up as an ani to collect from the unsuspecting died, which reminds us, Rabbi Elazar said, Bob nachsi tovah l'ramayim, come on and show gratitude to the swindlers who pretend to be anim to collect staka. Shimalehen hainu chotim b'chol yom. For if not for them, we'd be sinning daily. Rashi explains that we would be sinning for ignoring the needs of the poor. But now that there are swindlers, we have an excuse for distrusting them. So when the wealthy schach dealer who would dress up as an ani to collect from the unsuspecting died, his family debated what he would have wanted to give his daughter as a dowry, which reminds us, we've malchukas how we determine what to give an orphan girl from her father's estate as a dowry. Does she get what her first sister got, or do we consider changes in the father's financial status, or do we try to assess what the father would have liked to give? So, when the wealthy schach dealer who would dress up as an ani to collect from the unsuspecting died, his family debated what he would have wanted to give his daughter as a dowry. When all of a sudden someone revealed that at the time of his death, he said that his daughter should not be provided a dowry from his estate. Which reminds us, Rav Huna said in the name of Rebbe, Parnasa Enek Tanai Ksuba, an orphan's right to a dowry is not the same as a right from the Tanai Ksuba, such as a right to sustenance. The Gemara says that this is in line with what was taught in a Braisa, that if a father said at the time of his death that his daughter should not be sustained by his estate, we do not listen to him. But if he says his daughter should not be provided with a dowry from his estate, we listen to him because the right to a dowry is not the same as the right from the Tanai Ksuba. So once again, when the wealthy schach dealer who would dress up as an ani to collect from the unsuspecting died, his family debated what he would want to give his daughter as a dowry. When all of a sudden someone revealed that at the time of his death, he said that his daughter should not be provided a dowry from his estate. All right, now it's time for four Balabah Chazara. Daf Samach Dalet. So the simmer Daf Samach Dalet is a secret agent. So here goes. The secret agent, that must be more Daf Samach Dalet. The secret agent on his way to deliver a Nigeris merit written to a Yavama, which reminds us, originally when the mitzvah Yibum took precedence over Chalitza because they had the proper Kavana, a Shomer's Yavam could receive a Nigeris merit for rebelling. But now that the mitzvah Chalitza takes precedence before the mitzvah Yibum, a Yavama nowadays who rebels against her Yavam is not denying him a mitzvah, so she does not receive a Nigeris merit. So the secret agent on his way to deliver a Nigeris merit written to a Yavama discovered a chart that details a rebellious husband compensates less and not for Shabbos, which reminds us a rebellious husband does not compensate his wife for Shabbos since it looks like Schar Shabbos, and he pays half that a rebellious wife does because his suffering is greater when deprived or because his frustration is visible to others. So the secret agent on his way to deliver a Nigeris merit written to a Yavama discovered a chart that details a rebellious husband compensates less and not for Shabbos, and overheard the husband tell his friend he's not living with his wife and wants him to provide 2 kabin of wheat per week for her. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, a mashas ishto yidei shlish, one who provides for his wife through a third party may not give her less than 2 kabin of wheat per week or less than 4 kabin of barley. Daf Samachay. So the simmer Daf Samachay relates to set sheep, and we use a shepherd. So here goes. The drunk shepherdess, shepherdess, that must be more Daf Samachay, set sheep. The drunk shepherdess who drank 4 cups of wine, which reminds us, we learned from a drush from Machana that a husband does not give his wife a stipend for wines, and a brice was brought to Tot, that 1 cup of wine is good for a woman too, is a disgrace. After 3 cups, she verbally requests marital relations from her husband. If she drinks 4 cups, she solicits even a donkey in the marketplace and is in particular. Rav has said that they taught this braisa only with regard to a woman whose husband is not with her. So the drunk shepherdess who drank 4 cups of wine put on 2 mountain shoes that didn't match from the pairs she received with the regalim, which reminds us wives who live in mountainous areas are given 3 pairs of shoes each year, and they should be given to them on the regalim, so they should have simcha with them. So the drunk shepherdess who drank 4 cups of wine put on 2 mountain shoes that didn't match from the pair she received for the regalim and called her shepherd husband to tell him she plans to eat with him Friday night, which reminds us the Mishnah state that he gives her each week a silver ma for her needs and she eats with him Friday night. The Gemara asks what the meaning is of she eats with him, and Rav Nachman says, Ocheles mamish, it literally means eating, whereas Rabashi says, tashmish, it refers to marital relations. Daf Samach Vav, so the similar Daf Samach Vav is a tailor in sewing. So here goes. The tailor, that must mean we're on Daf Samach Vav, sewing. The tailor fitting a new suit on a man who paid for it with the 2 parts bojas and pagam he received from his wife's injury, which reminds us, Rav Yudim and Maseres said regarding the bojas and pagam payments for a wife who is injured by another, Bizman Shabasesim, when the injury is concealed, 2 parts of the payment are hers and 1 part of the payment goes to her husband. When the injury is exposed, 2 parts are his and 1 is hers. Rashi explains that a defect in the wife's appearance causes him embarrassment and also makes her repulsive in his eyes. Ravina asks Ravashi, if one humiliated a pauper from a wealthy family where the entire family suffers disgrace, would one have to pay restitution for boshes to the entire family too? Ravashi answered there regarding the pauper from the wealthy family, he's not part of their bodies, but here the wife is legally considered his goof, his body. So the tailor fitting a new suit on a man who paid for it with the 2 parts bojas and pagam he received from his wife's injury told the customer to stop complaining that he had to commit to repay 6 denarim for the 4 his wife brought in. Which reminds us, when a couple brings in cash with her dowry, the chosen has to commit to repaying an increase of a half. Rashi explains that the reason for the increase is that cash is readily used for doing business and earning a profit. The Gemara explains why the Mishnah repeated this concept when she brings in a large amount or a small amount of cash. So the tailor fitting a new suit on a man who paid for it with the 2 parts boches and pagam he received from his wife's injury told the customer to stop complaining that he had to commit to repay 6 denarim for the 4 his wife brought in, and pointed to the daughter of a former wealthy client outside collecting barley kernels among the donkeys belonging to an Arab, which reminds us of the story of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's encounter with the daughter of Nachman ben Gurion collecting barley kernels after her father had lost all his wealth, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's weeping and saying, Ashrechem Yisrael, fortunate are Yisrael, b'zman she'osim ratzon shel makom ein kol uma v'lashon shalatis b'hem. When they do Hashem's ratzon, no nation or tongue can rule over them. B'zman she'ein osim ratzon shel makom mosim b'yad uma shefala. But when they do not do Hashem's ratzon, he gives them over to the hands of a lowly nation, and not into the hands of the lowly nation itself, but in the hands of the animals of a lowly nation. Daf Samach Zayin. So the simmer Daf Samach Zayin is a sizzling barbecue. So here goes. The orphanage barbecue, that must mean more Daf Samach Zayin, sizzling barbecue. The orphanage barbecue to raise funds to marry off orphan girls, then orphan boys, which reminds us, it was taught in a braisa, if an orphan boy and orphan girl come before the Gabbai Tzadok to be supported, we first provide for the orphan girl, because it's the way for a man to go around begging from door to door, but not the way for a woman. And if an orphan boy and orphan girl come individually for Tzadok to get married, we first marry off the girl, for the bush of a woman is greater than the bush of a man. We also learn about what we provide for a yasum to help him get married. So the orphanage barbecue to raise funds to marry off orphan girls, then orphan boys, featured horse rides with a poor with people dressed as slaves running before them, which reminds us, we learn from the pasuk asher yachzor lo, whatever is lacking to him, that even if an ani from a wealthy family is lacking a horse to ride upon and an evan to run before him, you must provide for him. They said about Hillel HaZaken that one time he couldn't find an evan to run before the ani, so he himself ran before him for 3 milin. So the orphanage barbecue to raise funds to marry off orphan girls, then orphan boys, featured horse rides for the poor with people dressed as slaves running before them, and an inspirational show about a generous couple who chose to jump into an oven instead of embarrassing someone in public. Which reminds us, the Gemara relates the Maisa of Mar Ukva and his wife who ran away from an ani they were secretly supporting, and how they jumped into a hot furnace to conceal their identities in order to save him from embarrassment. Alright, so now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1, which daf did we learn that a chosen commits to pay an increase of a half for the cash his kala brings in her dowry? That's on daf Samach Vav. Good, number 2. Which daf we've amoko is how to assess the dowry for an orphan girl from her father's estate? That's on daf Samach Ches. Good, number 3. Which Daf Yud Machlokes regarding the meaning of a wife eats with her husband Friday night. Is it referring to literal eating or Tashmi Shalmita? That's on Daf. Samachay. Good, number four. Which Daf Yud that we marry off orphan girls before we marry off orphan boys? That's on Daf. Samach Zayin. Good, number five. Which Daf Yud that we have to be thankful for the swindlers who dress up as a neem to collect? That's on Daf. Samaches. Good, number six. Which Daf Yud of a question whether an Igeris Merid is written for a Yavama? That's on Daf. Samach Dalad. Good, number seven. Which Daf Yud that Hillel once ran before an Ani riding on a horse? That's on Daf. Samach Zayin. Good, number eight. Which Daf Yud when the dowry is not like the Tanai Ksuba? For if the father says not to provide a dowry for his daughter, we listen to him. That's on Daf. Samaches. Good, number nine. Which Daf Yud the mice of Mar Ukva and his wife jumping into a furnace to conceal their identity and save an Ani from embarrassment? That's on Daf. Samach Zayin. Good, and number 10. Which Daf Yud win that a Meredith is someone who says she wants to stay with her husband but wants to make him suffer? That's on Daf. Samach Gimel. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldhamzich wishing you a great day and great learning.